Sort of, kind of. All right, I'll try to talk up, but I have a hard time sitting here, but the lavalier would interfere with this mic, and so I'm trying to be good and stay here. Advanced placement participation. So these are kids who have the opportunity now to get college credit in high school. And again, another thing I really want to do, if I can, is make sure that every student who graduates has some college experience before they get to college, because it's not so daunting of a prospect for them. If they've already taken a class and they've got credit as a junior or senior, you know, for an AP exam, then they're already kind of feeling like, hey, college will be okay because I've already had that experience. And even students who don't do well in AP courses do better in college because they had been exposed to the subject matter. In fact, if you're familiar with U.S. News and World Report, every year we'll rank all of the high schools in the nation. All they do is take the number of AP exams given, not passed, but given, and divide it by the number of the student body. And that's how they determine their ranking. It's based on one single criteria, which I guess if that's a criteria you excel at, it's a great way to do rankings. If you don't, maybe not. But the concept is solid that we want to get more college-level material to our high school students. And right now, we offer AP courses for our juniors and our seniors. I'm hoping over time we can creep some of those down into our sophomore year. But we've seen a big increase in both the number of students taking the exams and the number of exams passed. And so AP participation is up 49% over the last 5 years. That's pretty good. All right. And overall performance on those exams is up 38%. One of the problems is we add new tests. It takes a while for the AP teachers to learn really how to prepare kids for the exam, because there's definitely an art to taking AP exams. And so it does take a few years for teachers to get used to that. But again, I'm hoping we're going to continue to see positive improvement. But 49% increase over 5 years is pretty darn good. Right. Dual credit. And we couldn't do this without Ivy Tech. And Dr. Bone said he wasn't able to be here today. He explained he's trying to go down and get a $42 million grant in Indianapolis. So he apologized he wasn't going to be here, but he values my partnership. And I'm okay, but less than $42 million worth of value. So I already told him that joke when we talked this morning. But really, without Ivy Tech, we would not be able to do dual credit. And so it's really important. And if you look at our numbers of kids enrolled in dual credit and earning credit is way up. And got to remember, for the kids, that's free college credit. Think about the potential now we have to actually earn an associate's degree, and those kids in that early college program are sophomores now. 2 years from now, they're going to graduate high school with an associate's degree. So instead of 4 years of college tuition, they're going to have two. Or in some cases, maybe they'll just be able to go on to the world of work, depending upon what their career path is. But that's pretty big. And I have to say, I'd worked on a similar program in my previous district, but the way this one is set up, I think, is better because it actually starts with freshmen. And so they still stay part of the Muncie Central family, and they take, you know, 4 years of or 2 years of college classes over 4 years. And I think it's actually a much better system than the system I had worked with previously. So I'm very proud of Ivy Tech and the people at the district office and at Muncie Central who put this program together. I think they did a great job. And again, our numbers are only up 432%. I ask you to remember those numbers when we get our I-STEP exams back, which I'll talk about later. But this is huge for kids. They can walk out of school with a degree for free, right? And this is becoming more important throughout the country. So the Board of Higher Learning is trying to make it harder for us to certify our teachers to be able to teach these dual credit courses, because they have to meet the same criteria a college professor would need to meet. And so we're working on that, but that is an issue that you'll probably see in the paper a few more times. I know that Dr. Bowne is very worried about that with even some of his professors who aren't working at the high school level. So I also have to say how proud I am of our Marine Corps Junior ROTC program. They were recently named as a Naval Honor Program. Basically, it means they're one of the top 10% of programs in the nation. But more importantly, again, this is an opportunity for kids who might not otherwise get to college to get an appointment to one of the service academies. And so, because everybody who gets appointed through the congressional process doesn't end up meeting the standards and making it, there are other positions that have to be filled to make those, you know, freshman classes full. And so kids who are in these honor programs have an opportunity to get one of those appointments. And so this is an opportunity, again, for kids to end up with a four-year degree for free. They do have to serve in the military a few years, but that's not necessarily a terrible thing. The other key is it's really a citizenship and leadership development program. A lot of the kids who were in the MGROTC program are kids who will never even make it into the military, but it's really important for them to belong. For instance, at Central, you know, on Wednesdays they wear the uniforms. And I was walking by as one of our special needs classes, kids who are all, for the most part, wheelchair-bound, have significant, you know, mental handicaps. And I was very interested to see how many of them were wearing a camouflage T-shirt or a camouflage bandana, because they want to feel like they're part of something with that MGROTC program. And, you know, talking to Master Sergeant Harbor, really they did a very good job of trying to, you know, say nice things to those kids and give them some positive feedback and make them feel like they're also part of that program. And that's huge for them. You know, if you compliment them on their camouflage bandana, you know, they get a big, you get a big smile, and kids are excited that you're noticing those kind of things. But this program does a ton of community service, and, you know, very similar, we just found out we got a Chick-fil-A Leadership Academy grant as well. That was the kids on the very first slide. And so there are a lot of opportunities out there for community service for our community. We recognized our National Honor Society sponsor last night at the board meeting for all of her work. But there are a lot of good positive things going on, and I would be here a long time if I went through all of them. But because I was in the service myself, I have a special place for the kids in the ROTC program, and I think it's a great program for kids. The Muncie Area Career Center actually serves not only our kids, but kids from 11 other county school districts, both in Delaware and in Randolph counties. And there are great programs there. You can get certified to become a dental technician, a firefighter, a welder. You can also earn your high school diploma there if you have left and you need to come back. And we do credit recovery for those. And that's a program where we're really trying to reach out and create more business partnerships. And we had a meeting this morning with Joanne McCowan, who's the director there, trying to reach out to manufacturers to get more job shadowing opportunities and internships for kids so they can see what there are real options for them if they decide they're not going to go to a traditional, you know, four-year college path and they want to get a job in manufacturing or they want to work in healthcare or be a dental assistant. And I know the dental assistant program got put in a couple years ago, and now we have a waiting list for those kids. Same thing with cosmetology. They're one of the first classes I visited the first day of school, and they offered me a pedicure. I did say no, interesting enough. They offered to do a hair weave for me later, and I thought, why, that, you know, that's a challenge because I barely have enough hair to do that. But we offer, you know, a lot of different industry standard certifications. 149 certificates were earned at the MAC last year. And so, again, that's a real opportunity. The city of Muncie actually donated one of their old fire engines to us. We just got a new one, actually, last spring. Again, you see the early child care. As we try to create good preschool opportunities, we need to have proper child care workers, and we have that early childhood program as well. So there are a lot of opportunities there that you may or may not be aware of if you haven't had students in our system. And I got to talk more about testing because we're going to talk about tests now. But I do like that, you know, that tests tend not to improve instruction and improve education. They just tend to test and take instructional time away, actually. And we do have AF accountability in the state. We don't have scores for this year because they haven't set them yet. Interestingly enough, usually when you take a test, somebody's already determined what the passing score is. Indiana's decided to take the approach. They're going to wait till everybody takes the test, and then they're going to determine the passing score. Now, one who was cynical or jaded, I am neither, might say that, you know, they're doing that to make sure they set up a certain amount of schools to fail. In fact, what the superintendents who were sort of more in tune with things going on at the State House than I am, they're expecting that the failure rates are going to go up 20 to 25% because then they'll have more to talk about in the election process that, oh my gosh, we have a crisis, we have to fix it. In reality, if you look at the scores, almost all of our schools went up. and I didn't put the A to F grades on there purposely because we have a lot of schools that may not necessarily have a very good grade, and there's a lot more to our schools than just that test grade. And so, you know, I've told my principals, don't say, well, you know, I'm an A school or I'm an B school or I'm an F school, because that's just one grade. That's one facet. And I think we have to do a much better job of taking a much more holistic look at what we're doing in those schools. You know, if all the kids come from two-parent families and everybody's dad and mom have a college degree, it's a lot easier to do well than if you're from, you know, if the kids are coming from the working poor and they don't necessarily have, you know, an idea where supper is coming from. You know, there are a lot of kids, and you'll hear this today. We had our fog day. You know, I only got one call today saying we should have had school. And then when I called him back, he was apologetic because his wife had told him the fog wasn't that bad. So he'd overreacted. But I'm very hesitant to call off school. And that's because we make sure that the vast majority of our kids get two warm meals every day at school. And if we don't have school, I don't necessarily know if they're going to get two warm meals. And so that's an important piece of what goes into the decision whether or not to cancel school. And again, no matter what that decision is, it's always wrong. I'm well aware of that. But really, we've made improvements in almost every school over the last couple of years. And I think that, again, they're readjusting the metric this year, so who knows how we'll do. But when you see those scores, remember that we all took the test, and now they're deciding what the cut scores are. So, and it's not criterion reference, meaning that all schools can't get A's. For basically the way they're setting it up, every time a school gets an A, somebody else has to get an F. And that's probably not really what we need in public education, but it does make for very good sound bites. Our elementary programs. You know, and I think we have really great elementary schools. You know, four of our nine schools were A schools. We're very working on being very data-driven, using the eight-step process to inform instruction, remediate kids where they need it. We have an expanded learning program at East Washington Academy for our gifted students that really allows them to expand, and then that program continues on at the middle school level and then into the early college program at Muncie Central. The MP3 program that BSU professors have worked with at Longfellow to take the student teachers and really immerse them in the culture so they learn more about the students than simply how they do in school, and really learn about the community is a great program. And in fact, three of those professors wrote a book this summer about their project at Longfellow that just got published. And so I've asked Dr. Eva for a signed copy. I'm not sure if I'll get one or not. But I do think that, you know, we should celebrate the fact that that program has been so successful that it's gotten national attention and it's been published. You know, again, we're part of the professional development program with Ball State's Teacher College, and I really also felt very, very good about how all levels of the Ball State administration have reached out to try to work with us and meet me since I've been here, and that's a really strong, important partnership as well. We also have athletic programs at the elementary level, which we're one of the very few school districts in the state that still have elementary athletics. And we've done a lot with kindergarten readiness. You know, one of the keys in the By Five organization has explained to me that only 47% of our kids are kindergarten ready when they come into school. And, you know, that sort of surprises you because I know my mom was desperate to get me out of the house. But she was trying to make sure I was prepared for kindergarten, probably just so I wouldn't be sent home. But it's really important for us to make sure we meet those needs. And, you know, some of those things make sure that we get together when we have children who become teen parents to make sure they get the proper prenatal care so that they don't have kids who have special needs when they become kindergartners. But we have kindergartners who don't know their name, you know, when they come to school. They've only ever been called a nickname. They don't know their name. We have significant issues, behavior and socialization issues, because sometimes they've never really been out of their house. They haven't been involved in things. And so we really need to work with our partners to do that. I know that the By Five program is trying to make sure that every child is kindergarten ready by 2020. And my teachers would come over and hug you all if that's the case, because that's really important. And one thing that, you know, I'm working with our local representatives to do is to try to get legislation to provide for 4-year preschool through the state for everybody. Because, again, we have a program with Head Start in one of our buildings to do some of that now at Sutton. But we need to not just get the kids who are at risk. We need to put them in with everybody so they can all work together and they can learn from each other. And that'll create a stronger kindergarten class. And Iowa does it. And I figure if Iowa can figure it out, Indiana should be able to figure it out as well.